Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to a special Sunday night edition of Saints Happy Hour Podcast because I'm traveling to Los Angeles next week, so we got to do it early. As always, Saints Happy Hour is sponsored by JLD Hot Sauces and Knives. Guys, they have the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce, Bujolica, comes in hot, extra hot, my personal favorite, and Thai flavors. They also have Reaper Madness Special Reserve made with Reaper Pepper from Carolina. And for the brave, you can get the Death Shot. It has the extract of 10 Reaper chilies in each 1-ounce bottle. It'll melt your face off. JLD also has the highest quality handmade knives you'll find anywhere, including ones for hunting, fishing, and cooking. They make a great Christmas gift. I'm just saying. Go to jldsharpsauce.com and use the code SAINTS. Get 10% off your order today. That's jldsharpsauce.com. Do it now, after the show. Holy shit, Dave. We were talking before the show. By the way, Dave is drunk, and I am not drunk because I had vertigo last week. I mean, not last week, yesterday. So that was the problem with me. And by the way, vertigo is like the worst hangover of your life, and you're in a blender. Just in case you were wondering. But Dave, this game to me was like, it was like an out-of-body experience in a sense that, you know, the Saints last year when they lost to Minnesota, I looked at it and I was like, what just happened? That can't be real. And that was today when the dude missed the extra point. I was like, what the fuck just happened? He's the best kicker in the NFL and he just hooked that shit and the Saints are winning this game.
Well, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, but up until today, he was 222 for 222 on extra points.
So, the meme of his face is going to live forever.
With his eyes. Well, because he's been playing for years and he's never seen himself miss an extra point. And so he can't believe that he's missing that one after his team just theoretically tied the game up. I thought for sure, you know, I texted you guys because I thought for sure as soon as they scored that touchdown, obviously you assume they're going to make the extra point and this game's going to go into overtime. And before the game on last week's yep. podcast, I predicted 27-24, the Saints were going to win and tied at 24.
Nose.
Right. And tied at 24 going into overtime. It was looking very likely that 27-24 could have been the winning score. So I just wanted to, you know, remind all of you guys that.
And then, by the way, I said Ben Watson would be MVP, and he caught a touchdown.
Yeah, he did have a good game. He did have a good.
We had an excellent week of predicting.
The game went pretty much, I think, how most of us expected. I mean, you know, it was. It was fairly low scoring. You know, they made some mistakes, but they made some key mistakes at key times, like the fourth down penalty. But I thought overall, though, I mean, the defense, they came through when they needed to come through. And yeah. I mean, you know, it's good to see the Saints win a tough game like this, that they can really grind it out. They can go against a really the league's best defense and they can still do it. It's a good sign. It's a very good sign. I don't know. You know, call me crazy, but I mean, I think the Ravens have a very, very good team. And I think the Ravens might be a better team than the Eagles or the Vikings. I think this game might have been harder than some of these upcoming games are going to be hard.
No, that's totally fair. This defense for the Ravens, I was kind of like, I knew going into the game, I was like, they're going to be good. And you know, but I was like, look at their competition. I'm like, the Saints are going to do all right against them. But I'm going to tell you, I mean, the Saints, we'll get to that first drive in a minute that was 20 plays and they got nothing from it. But they were down 17-7 and they went touchdown, touchdown, field goal against the best defense in NFL on the road in their stadium. I mean, it was remarkable, but they had shut down the Saints. I mean, up until the third quarter, Drew Brees didn't even have 100 yards passing. Mark Ingram wasn't finding yards on the ground. Like, that Baltimore defense, it's fucking legit. Like I know the Saints won, and people are talking smack on Twitter. Like, Baltimore's defense, they lived up to what they are. That is a tough-ass defense, and good luck playing that defense if your quarterback isn't a top-10 quarterback. They're going to fuck you up. You know, I mean, it's okay when the Saints win to not like shit on the other team. Now, granted, I will be honest and say, look, the first half I had to rewatch because I was at church. It was my in-laws. There was a special Catholic mass for people that had been married for 50 years. So I was in that for the first quarter and almost right up until halftime, so I didn't get to see any of the game until actually the middle of the third quarter on. Mm. But I know the Saints, they gave up some big plays on defense, and to have Joe Flacco kind of, I wouldn't say he lit him up, but they were moving the ball, and they had no answer for a while for John Brown. I mean, he caught 7 for 134 and had the touchdown at the end. I mean, I don't know. I feel like the Saints, you know, you started off saying the Saints' defense was pretty good. I know that people are Crawley and P.J. Williams had penalties and all, but they made plays and they almost got off the field. I don't feel like the defense took a step back today. Like, I didn't see anything today that makes me more feel worse or feel better about the defense. This is just kind of like what they are. I mean, what's your feeling on the defense?
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, honestly, the only thing that makes me concerned is what you were talking about before we started recording with Marcus Williams and what his injury is. You know, he was the one that got flagged for that penalty on fourth down. But, I mean, to be honest with you, dude, Lattimore should have picked that ball off. I mean, that was in his hands, and that would have ended it right there. But again, at least they're making those plays and they're in the position. And I mean, he didn't intercept it, but it was still, you know, a batted pass and, you know, incomplete.
And let's be real, you don't want to.
There were just a handful of plays that were stupid that kind of made you want to pull your hair out. But if you take those plays away, I think the defense played well. I mean, Ken Crawley, I mean, he came in, he made that great tackle and punched the ball out of his hands. I thought that was a real heads up play. So they're not perfect.
Lacking today.
Yeah,
it really
the pass. I mean, Flacco. Jesus, he had so much time. There was that one play where he had like literally 10 seconds. but that's a good sign though, because he never got rid of the ball because the coverage downfield was so good. I mean, on during the broadcast. I forget who was I never remember his name, but the guy who was doing the color for Fox, he pointed out, he highlighted one play where Sheldon Rankins drops back into coverage and he sort of covers the middle of the, like where a middle linebacker would cover that soft spot in the middle of the zone there. And that play obviously worked out for the Saints because it wound up being incomplete or whatever. And I think that's a good example of you know, just sort of stuff that you don't, you know, you're not seeing. It's not a big flashy play or an interception or anything like that, but it's plays like that really highlight how well the defense played. I mean, you know, just tricking them up or whatever and throwing things at them that they don't expect, like Sheldon Rankins dropping back into coverage. I mean, you don't often see a defensive tackle dropping back into coverage. Like, that is some trickery right there. That's some tricky stuff.
Yeah.
And that really threw Flacco for a loop. But the Saints need to take advantage of of all those that coverage. You know, they need to be getting sacks with these with this coverage. They need to be getting these coverage sacks.
Yeah, and it was weird because look, 2 weeks ago the pass rush against Washington, which I felt like had a better offensive line than Baltimore, maybe the pass rush was lights out, but it was at home and it was Monday night and all that. Here's the thing that sticks out to me in this game, Dave: the Saints, they ran it 39 times for 134 yards. Now, granted,
really?
Four of those carries were Drew Brees avoiding sacks and different things.
How many rushes were on that first drive? I mean, that first drive was 20 plays. You know, 10 of those could have been rushes right there.
It was 20 plays. It was 11 rushes.
I mean, but everybody knows, I mean, in case there are people that don't know, I mean, like, a long drive normally would be like 11, 12 plays.
Yeah.
Like, this is 20 plays. I mean, this was a very long drive. Obviously, they went for it twice on fourth down.
Yeah.
Which I mean, love, by the way. The aggressive play calling, I love it. It's in the end. And if it bites him in the ass, that's fine. But I say let's live or die by it.
You know, and here's the thing. The Saints were hyper-aggressive throughout the game. And here's one of the subplots that I love it on Twitter. Like, all the so-called football experts, the fantasy football people, the talking heads, they fucking hate Taysom Hill getting the ball. And it drives them insane just on a regular basis that the Saints are playing Wildcat. It drove them fucking mad today that on that key third down late in the game, they're running Taysom Hill. And he was short, and then Drew Brees did his special, you know, pick it up play. But I'm telling you, man, the Saints, Sean Payton had no fear. And here's of all the fourth downs and all the aggressive play calls that he did, the most fucking ballsy one to me, Dave, is they stop the Ravens, and they're up 21-17, and he's got fucking Drew Brees in the shotgun throwing the ball downfield to Dan fucking Arnold at the end of the game. You know, most coaches would have been like, hey, let's run some clock, let's make them burn some timeouts, blah, blah, blah. Sean Payton's like, no. We're spreading them out, we're going shotgun with Brees, and we're throwing to the tight end that nobody had heard of 5 minutes ago. You know? I mean, If that doesn't sum up the Sean Payton balls to the wall philosophy, I don't know what does. But overall, did you feel like – I feel like today proves to me that this offense is special. Do you – and I feel better about the offense even though they only scored 24. How do you feel about the offense after today?
I mean, I have never once worried about this offense. For the last 12 years, Ralph, I have never once.
I'm not saying worried about it. I'm saying, like, do you think it can – I think today proved that it's going to be special, like 2011, 2009 special.
I don't think that this offense is going to, like, break any crazy records. I don't think they're going to put up amazing stats. What I think this offense is – good at, or what makes it so good, is just the fact that they have so many weapons, so many different guys, and all of those guys, they always, I think it's gotten to the point now, I think that they have built this offensive culture in New Orleans, and Sean Payton has, and Drew Brees has, where anybody who comes in and plays on this offense, they don't want to be the guy that lets everybody else down. Nobody wants to let Drew Brees down. You know, Drew Brees has been playing for 18 years or whatever, and he's having a great season this year. Dude, nobody wants to let him down at this point. Like, this is his year. This is the hashtag Brees for MVP year. Still no interceptions, by the way. Still no interceptions. He lasted through Baltimore. He lasted through a game against Baltimore, still with no interceptions. All of these guys, if you're a defense, what are you going to do? You want to take away the running game? Go ahead, take away Ingram. Try to take away Kamara as far as the running game is concerned.
Kamara ran hard today, by the way.
He did.
He had 17 carries for 64, and those were, like, it wasn't easy. Glide through yards. Those were hard ass yards he was getting today.
Also, he's obviously now the official. He's officially the punt returner. You know, in the last.
I don't know how I feel about that. We'll get to that in a second.
In the last 2 or 3 weeks, they've used him almost predominantly. But anyway, you know, what do you do if you're this defense? You want to stop the running game? We'll get you with Tre'Quan Smith. Hell, we'll get Cam Meredith out here. Hell, we'll get Austin Carr out here. to beat you. I mean, all of these guys are good enough and they're talented enough. You know, Austin Carr, like, we don't think much of him, but if he was good enough to make this Saints team with these receivers,
yeah,
he could probably go on any other NFL team and he would probably be a pretty darn good receiver. I mean, we only take the best of the best, the creme de la creme in New Orleans.
This Ben offense. Watson, 6 for 43. You know, that's the thing. Like, if you play the Saints and you're like, look, we think we can stop the run, and we're going to cover Michael Thomas, and we're going to cover the other receiver, and we're going to focus on the run. Ben Watson is going to be playing against either your third corner or linebacker or one of them linebacker, corner, safety, mix. Hate hybrid guys, and even though he's old as fuck, he can still beat him. He can still get open. It just becomes so difficult. And the thing is, today, like, granted, the Saints got down 17-7, and then they started flinging it. But once it got to 17-14, like, Sean Payton didn't continue to fling it. Like, they were still grinding it out. And Dave, they were missing guys like Warford played. He played hurt. Larrivius had to play because of Pete got a concussion in practice, and then Larrivius gets hurt and they had to put in Cameron Tom, and the offensive line, it hung together against the number one defense in the NFL. I mean, that to me, that this defense hung together, Dave, when they were down 17-7, I mean, it speaks volumes. And if I'd have told you that the Saints were going to be down both their guards, or they were going to be playing the third string guard at one spot and be down 17-7, what would you have said?
The Saints are usually pretty good of making a game of it. I would say, you know, they'll probably get it close, but they probably wouldn't pull it out. I know I predicted the Saints to win on the podcast just because I generally try to stay positive, but I mean, in reality, I thought this was a very tough game. I thought the Ravens matched up very well against the Saints. And by match up well, I mean they don't match up very well at all.
Here's the thing. The Saints going into today were 2-121 when they were losing by double digits going into the fourth quarter. This is only the third win in Saints history when they've gone into the fourth quarter down 10 or more and won. The other time was Miami in 2009 under Peyton, and the time before that, I don't even know when it fucking was. I can't even tell you. I mean, so the Ravens going into the fourth quarter, their win chance was, I think, 84% on the little win percentage meter. So to come in and beat a winning team on the road down 10 in the fourth quarter was fucking crazy. But getting the touchdown right to answer Baltimore was huge. Other things in this game, Dave. The thing that struck me the most watching it, we talked about the pass rush, but were you surprised? We talked about how many times they ran it, but were you surprised going into this game that they were as committed to the run as they were? I was kind of thinking that they were going to throw the ball over the place.
I'm always surprised when they're committed to the run because that's not usually their MO. I mean, you know, they are a pass-first team. And obviously with Drew Brees, there's obvious reason to be so. So I'm always surprised when they go run heavy. But obviously there was something in their game plan, or there was something that they saw this week or on film that they, you know, and they definitely made a conscious effort, and they probably thought that was the way to win the game, and they were right.
Here's the thing. They're 5-1, and this stretch coming up, I mean, they've got Minnesota, then they've got the Rams, then you still got Philly, although Philly lost today. How they were beating us. When I left my house, I think they were up 14-0 or 14-3 on Carolina. They gagged it up. I have no idea how that happened, but thanks fucking Philadelphia for nothing. Tampa won again. But I know everybody's going to say Rams, 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 but I look at the Saints, and today, of all their wins this year, the Atlanta was probably the most fun because it's just Atlanta and it was a wild fucking game and they scored and it was overtime and all that. But as far as, like, impressive wins, today was the day. Like, this is the – if you ranked all the wins from least impressive to most impressive, today is the most impressive to me. Do you think the same thing, or was there another win that you thought was more impressive than today?
I mean, as far as the season is concerned, this is the most impressive win this season? Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, this is the first game of you know, the whole stretch that they've got coming up. I mean, they're about to run the gauntlet here, and they could have easily lost this game and started this whole gauntlet run off on the wrong foot, and I don't think anybody would have been surprised. I certainly would have been surprised. And again, these are normally not the games that they hang in and win. I this team definitely seems to have, the one thing that's, you know, I'm still in disbelief about how they won, and I think I still feel this way, but my immediate gut reaction immediately post game was kind of like, I mean, I'm glad they won, but it wasn't a very satisfying win. You know, I don't really feel like we won. I don't really feel like the Saints won so much as the Ravens. Baltimore. They really choked that away. I'm not saying obviously the game would have gone into overtime, and the Saints certainly had what it takes to beat the Ravens, but it could have gone either way for sure. And
I mean, look.
I feel like the Saints played so well, and I just feel like it would be more of a statement. I'm thinking tomorrow we're going to hear a lot of the talking heads, like the Colin Cowherd's people and all those people saying, oh, they didn't really win that game. They didn't, and when they do the power rankings and stuff, the Saints aren't going to move up in the power rankings, even though they beat a team that's probably right there next to them in the power rankings. The Saints aren't going to move up because, you know, it really wasn't a convincing win or whatever. So that whole aspect of it kind of partly annoys me. But the other aspect is just, yeah, I mean, it really just, it sort of feels like a hollow victory to me. But,
well, yeah,
you know, a win is a win.
If Marcus Lattimore intercepts that ball,
Marshawn,
and the Saints just win and they do three kneel downs, you're like, that's a fucking awesome win. You were down 17-7. You came back. You scored 17 unanswered. Your defense held at the end. You're 5-1. We're just as good as the Rams, even though they haven't lost to anybody. And
you know what really bothers me about this win is because of the letting Baltimore run right down the field at the end of the game and score a last-minute touchdown. That feels like a lot of the games we saw earlier this season. It feels like a lot of games we've seen in years past in the Peyton Breeze era. And that's what leaves a bad taste in my mouth. That last drive really leaves a bad taste in my mouth. The Saints could have very well have lost this game. You know, we all could have seen it going that way. We could have seen them giving up a touchdown on the last drive, going into overtime, losing the game because of that, when they had it locked up, when they could have just put it away. But that's kind of what leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I'm worried about if we are going to be in these tight games in the playoffs or later in the season, we're not going to get lucky next time. We're not going to have a 13-year veteran kicker missing his first extra point in 223 tries.
We're not going to get that kind of luck.
We have to put teams away ourselves. We have to do it ourselves and not let it come down to those random chance situations. That's my issue with this win.
I mean, this is the second time that the Saints have had a kicker miss an extra point late in the game that has swung it in their favor. Cleveland, he missed it. It would have put him ahead. Now, granted, the Saints went down and kicked the game-winning field goal anyway, right? That put him ahead.
I mean, to be fair, like, you know, when you have a Super Bowl season, you know, you have these wins. You know, these things happen.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta have a little bit of luck. The ball just has to go your way every now and then. All these little things, you know, that's what happens in these epic seasons, in these Super Bowl winning seasons. But God, it just makes me nervous because there's nothing saying that we can't be going against Minnesota next weekend and be tied late in the game and our defense is going to be out on the field. There's no way that you can have confidence that they're not going to give up a touchdown or some big play, because they still have that. That's still there. That's as good as the defense has been playing and as improved as they've been getting, that whole collapse late in the game for the defense, it's still there. It does not go away. It has not gone away.
Well, here's – and I'm going to get to it in just a second, but I got to tell everybody about MyBookie.com. Go to MyBookie.com. You bet. You win. They pay. They have the best site. You use Happy25. You get an extra $25. They match your deposit dollar for dollar. Go to MyBookie.com. You bet. You win. They pay. No, Dave, the biggest concern to me, and we talked about it on the last podcast about we joked about – half serious about, hey, Patrick Peterson, the Cardinals are thinking about trading him. The Saints should make that happen. Here's the thing. Marcus Lattimore, and I'm not just saying this, Marshawn Lattimore, I'm not just saying this because he dropped the interception. Like, that dude, he's not as good. He's not as good as last year. He's having a sophomore slump, regression, whatever the hell. And I'm not saying he's bad. He's still by far the best Saints corner they have. And he's still a very good corner. But he ain't the same that he was last year when he was a lockdown, top five dude. He's just not. And he said, look, I haven't been practicing as hard and all this. Like, he's having a sophomore slump. And that makes the Saints secondary go from pretty good to you know? and I don't know, like, the dudes they have, like, are they good enough to win a Super Bowl with the corners they have currently?
That's what I'm saying. I mean, these are the kind of cornerbacks who are giving up big plays late in the game and who are letting teams drive on them and they make big plays every now and then. They make good plays. They looked good. You know, they looked good today, but again, they're still folding and collapsing late in games when it's of the utmost importance. So I certainly don't trust them that much. No.
All right. Well, we got to go and answer some questions. Here's this one from before we get to the Minnesota game. So this is from James.
I can't even think about the Minnesota game. I haven't even processed this game yet. I'm not thinking about Minnesota. We haven't even had a day off yet. It's not the 24-hour rule hasn't even
24-hour rules. We're not even done celebrating. This is from James. Chosen to show favor towards our beloved Saints? What in God's name did Peyton give up? And what hellacious repercussions are we going to suffer in return for this one magical year? I mean, James, if they get another Lombardi trophy when they go 0-16 in 2023, I'll just take it like a man, you know? Like, what do you want me to say, man? I mean, listen, what was the year where Denver blocked the extra point and the dude stepped out of bounds, but he was wearing the white shoes, so they couldn't tell. And they ran it back. Was that 2015?
That was
2015.
No, that might have been. Yeah, that was 2016, I think.
2016. So, like, the breaks, they even out over the stretch. I mean, look, Denver, I'm an Astros fan, and the Astros just got eliminated. And in game four, they were like 6 inches away. The dude dove. He makes the catch. If he doesn't catch it, it's a bases-clearing double. Astros win, and they're probably playing tonight. And the year before, they made like three crazy plays. They win the World Series. So look, it just evens out over time, man. And the Saints have had a run of bad luck with 7-9. And last year, they went 11-5, but they weren't that great in close games because they didn't play a lot of them. So it's just kind of swings in your favor, you know? I mean, and next year they might not be as good. So this is a good question from Shane, Dave. Does Justin Tucker's missed extra point make seeing the Minneapolis Miracle 800 times this week more bearable?
Yeah, it does. No, that was, you know, that was our own little Baltimore Miracle. You know, I think you put it well. You mentioned the whole Denver thing and the white shoes. That's a good point. It's you know, it's like the force. You know, it pulls one way and it pulls the other way. And sometimes you're on one side of it and sometimes you're on the other side of it. So, I mean, it's nice. It's incredible. I think the whole white shoe thing, that's totally different than a guy, you know, kicking his 223rd extra point in his entire career. This guy has done something 223 times. That's like flipping a – could you imagine flipping a coin 222 times and it comes up heads every time, and then on the 223rd time, that's when it comes up tails? Just the odds of him missing this kick are incredible. They are incredible to me, and that it happened at that moment – are unbelievable. He should be playing the Mega Millions.
Weird.
He should be playing
it
the
was
Powerball.
Weird too.
It's up to like 900 million.
It was weird because
it was going straight.
It was almost like God fell asleep and he wanted the Saints to win, and he woke up and he was like, "Oh, the Saints are supposed to win," and he just like twitched his finger and off it went. Like, it was weird because, you know, usually when they miss extra points, like, it's just bad from the get-go, right?
Right.
So that was weird.
It was like a gust of wind just came and hooked that fucker, or he just put some sort of spin on that thing because it was going straight and then it just duck-hooked and it was out of there, man.
All right, so now we got to do got to remind you guys, the Saints Happy Hour is sponsored by JLD Hot Sauce and Knives. Guys, they have the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce, Boot Jolica, comes in hot, extra hot, and Thai flavors. Go to JLDSharpSauce.com and use the code SAINTS and get 10% off of your order today. That's JLDSharpSauce.com. Dave, I read that liner because people are asking me, I got like 6 questions in the Twitter question thing that I ask people. Do we mortgage the future and make a run at Peterson? La Canfora,
is that still a thing?
What's that?
Is this still a thing? Is he still on the block here?
I mean, look, they La Canfora said that he was, and other people have said he's on the block, and also, but La Canfora said today that the Saints and the Eagles are going to be two teams that are already pushing for trades. And look, history says the Saints will do stuff in season. Mickey Loomis did it for Mike McKenzie way back when. You know, they did it. They traded Akeem Hicks in the middle of the year for a tight end to New England. They'll do stuff during the middle of the year, but the trade deadline is a week from Tuesday. Right now, do you see the Saints doing something big? I will be in Los Angeles all week this week. So if anything happens, we can't have a show. So I would say that increases the odds exponentially.
It's true. That's true. That does increase the odds. That's a good point. Wait, what's the question? Do I think they will or do I want them to?
Do you think they will? Of course you want them to.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, they're a 5-1 team with the team they have, with all the guys that they have in the building. Yeah. You know, you could look at it that way. You could say this is the team. This is a good team. This is a 5-1 team. I mean, if the rumors are true and Peterson is available, I mean. Yes, they could do it. Yes, they could certainly do it. They can certainly do it. But
I gotta think though.
I don't know who they're gonna get.
And if the Saints are willing to do it, I gotta think Kansas City with 2 second round picks next year because they have theirs and they have the Rams.
Yeah.
I gotta think Kansas City,
right,
would at least be willing to give up 2 second round picks to get him. Because the reason I bring that up is because, look, my next question is from the boat lawyer. Can you tell me how many teams Drew has beaten? He's beaten them all.
32,
boat lawyer. But he also asks this. How can we win a playoff game with just one NFL quality corner. And here's the thing that I'm writing about. I wrote in my column that's going to run this week, even though I'm in LA, David. And we talked about it on the podcast the last couple weeks. The way the rules are in the NFL, I don't know how much defense you need to win the Super Bowl anymore, because Kansas City gives up 460 fucking yards a week, and they're 5-1. So, like, I don't, like, the Saints can definitely win a playoff game with this team. Like, they can.
Yeah, I mean, you know, this is the team that they have. This team is good enough to win 5 games already and to be 5-1. So, I mean, I certainly think that they can win a playoff game. I mean, they don't. This season is not the season for defense. This is the offensive season for sure. And this is, you know, normally they say defense wins championships, but seems like maybe this year it's going to be an offense that wins a championship. And you know, as long as the Saints can keep an opponent to 30 points, they can easily put up 30 points against just about everybody. You know, they put up 24 against Baltimore, who has been stingy as all hell so far this season. So, you know, everybody else, as far as I'm concerned, is a cakewalk.
Yeah, and I mean, look, the thing is, it's just like you said last week, when the Saints in 2012, they were the only team to give up 400 yards of offense a week.
Right.
Now six
right.
teams do, and if you add right. in a couple more, it goes up to like six or it's like five or six. It goes up to as much as 8 because they have like 3 teams that give up like more than 395, but not quite 400. So, I mean, look, this is what the NFL wants. They want high-scoring games. Mm-hmm. They want the games close, and they want quarterback to be easier to play, because they've realized that when these quarterbacks get hurt and they have all these shitty 17-10, 13-10 games, like, people don't want to fucking watch them. And yeah, the Saints game was interesting today, and it was fun, and it was close, but the NFL doesn't want it 24-23. They want it 35-34. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've created, and it works because the TV ratings are up. And by the way, before we get out of here, become a patron. You can get an awesome T-shirt that Dave has made. If you donate $12 a month, you can get a magnet. You can get in the drawing for $5 a month. And we have a really cool promotion that we are going to announce in December for 2019 that is going to be fucking awesome, and you're going to love it. So become a patron. You can listen for a dollar. You can get all kinds of cool stuff. So do it. So Dave, I know you don't want to talk about it, but the Saints.
I haven't even like thought about it. I haven't even. We don't even have any injury reports. We don't know.
We don't have nothing. We have injury reports. We don't have diddly squat. Because the thing is, everybody, I'm going to be in LA this week, so we had to do it on Sunday night, or you weren't getting it at all. So we're doing this out of love to make sure you people get a podcast. And we also have something on Thursday. I got Scott Prather for your patrons from Lafayette. He was awesome. We did a cool preview of the Minnesota game too. So donate for that, and you can get it. So the Saints go to Minnesota, Sunday night game, Dave. The Saints don't play at 12 o'clock until the middle of November, right? They have It's all Minnesota at
right.
7 on Sunday, and then they play the Rams at 3:30, and then I think they play Philadelphia at home maybe the 12, but that's like the middle of December. I mean, the middle of the beginning of November. So anyway, Minnesota is a 2.5-point favorite Sunday night. Who you got?
Well, when was the last time you looked at that line? Are they taking into account the Saints' win today with that line?
That is the line. That is footballlocks.com. It was updated. It was updated at 7:10.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah, I mean, how can I go against the Saints? What did Minnesota play today, or did they have a bye?
They played. They beat the Jets.
Oh, they did. Oh, they beat. Well, whatever.
Yeah.
This is just too early. I can't. Obviously, I got to go with the Saints. They're playing too well. They're in fuego, as Stuart Scott used to say. So this is going to be redemption. I hope Marcus Williams is healthy. I know he doesn't want to miss this game against the Vikings. I know he's going to want to play. And if he does play, I would expect big things from him. He's going to be super motivated. And I don't think the Vikings this year are as good as they were last year. They're a good team, but they're not as good as they were last year. So they don't really scare me like they – you know, like we all thought
maybe they would. I'm gonna say Saints keep rolling. Saints 33, and Vikings 21.
Ooh, that's a lot of points. Minnesota's defense is not nearly as good, though. Their pass defense is.
Yeah. I am going to say that Taysom Hill is finally going to get like some. He's going to do something. Obviously, he's always the player of the game. He's in everybody's hearts. He's number 7 on the field, number 1 in our hearts. But I think he's going to do something huge. He's finally going to get that touchdown pass to Drew Brees.
Wow. That would be amazing.
In this game, he's going to be MVP. Touchdown pass to Drew Brees.
I'm going to say Saints are going to win. I'm going to say it's going to be 35 for the Saints and 21 for Minnesota.
Similar to mine.
But it's going to be really close. And the player of the game is going to be Cam Jordan with a sack fumble recovery late to wrap it up. And the Saints will punch in a touchdown to make it 2 touchdowns, but it was really Minnesota had the ball and could tie it, but Cam Jordan saves the day. So that's going to be my pick. I just look at this, the NFC, and the Bears lost, and I know Carolina won today, but like the second seed is still right there, and hell, Dave, if we're both right and they go into Minnesota and win, suddenly shit, they play the Rams on a Sunday. The Rams are undefeated, but the Saints only lost once. Saints can go and start. You can start really thinking about that number one seed if the Saints can get these games these next 2 weeks. I mean, then that's all in front. And look, you get the Saints as the number one seed in the NFC. The Super Bowl becomes not only a distinct possibility, but a probability, because the Saints just don't fucking lose playoff games with Drew Brees in the dome. You know? So these next two weeks for the Saints are going to – they're going to decide whether the Saints are fighting for number one seed, are they fighting for a bye, or are they going to be fighting for the division, because you could win both and be 7-1. You could lose both and be 5-3. Maybe you're not even in first place anymore. So these next 2 weeks are really going to tell the tale, I think, as we go into the second half of the year. Andrew couldn't be with us because it was his lovely wife's birthday, so he had to do husbandry duty. but I thank Dave for joining me drunk. I survived the vertigo. And the spinning to give you people a podcast. So for Andrew, who was having a lovely birthday dinner with his wife, for Dave, who is gracious enough to join me drunk tonight, and me, who is giving you this podcast while the room is kind of sort of spinning, I'm Ralph Marlborough. until next week, the bar is closed.